listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, howling at the moon for the last 100 years. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy Mike the Ghoul here to talk some horror, channeling his inner Cronenberg-esque-ness with this movie, I would say, in a way, with the body horror.
A little. So,
a little.
We both recently watched, because I'm addicted to horror, good or bad, and I made you watch it.
I like horror, too.
I know, but I don't think you would have watched this if I'm like, oh, by the way, I just watched this, go watch this.
Probably not, but I didn't hate it, and we're going to get there.
We watched the most recent Wolfman from Universal Studios, new reboot, reimagining, reinvention of the classic Wolfman, which has seen a couple of versions over the years. The 1940s version with Lon Chaney, which only had one official movie and then some crossovers. The 2004 version that was featured as one of the characters in Van Helsing, which is terrible. The 2010 Wolfman, which is terrible for different reasons. And now this 2025 version that is also, in my opinion, not good, but you kind of liked it. And I think it's because you and I are approaching it from very different reasons.
I would say so. There were elements of this movie I liked, and there were things that I was disappointed they didn't come back to touch on, which kind of made it fizzle for me. And then at the end of the day, it was kind of just like a generic feel that tried to be interesting with the take. But yeah, there... visuals in this movie were good for me. You know, the transformation was good. The appearance that he would see things at was cool. Like, I wanted more of that. And a lot of it, sometimes there's just too slow of a burn in there for me.
So the movie is basically about this guy who grew up in the backwoods of Washington State, who lived with an abusive father who basically was just like hardcore backwoodsy hunter redneck kind of guy. If you can have rednecks in the middle of Washington State. I'm actually certain about that.
I don't know.
It's too rainy. Maybe
survivalist. Survivalist.
Definitely survivalist. That's a good way of putting it. So he escapes his father eventually, and we pick up with him 30-ish years later, 20-ish years later. He's 30. Living, yeah, something like that. He's with his wife in Seattle, has a daughter, and they all have to go back, because his father has finally died. They have to go back to the cabin out in the woods to tie up his father's estate. But as they're going out there, they get attacked by a weird Bigfooty-like creature. And this ends up turning the husband character, not spoilers, it was in the trailer, into, quote-unquote, the Wolfman. Now, there are parts of it I appreciated. There are parts of it I hated. But the biggest issue I had with it is because I'm a pedantic person who has watched every Wolfman movie from Universal Studios, and this isn't the fucking Wolfman. It's not even a Wolfman. It's not even a werewolf. It's just a weird Bigfooty disease.
Yeah. It's a very interesting take on the lichen lore, I guess you'd
say. But it's not even lichen, because they can go out in daylight. It's just, it's a dude that gets an infectious skin disease that turns him from one type of thing into another way faster than any disease should have.
Yeah, what, 24 hours?
Less
barely?
Than, maybe 12. Yeah, he goes from loving husband to weird rat creature in like 12 hours, which stretches credulity, because I got the vibe like they were trying to make something that felt vaguely realistic, could happen, maybe happen kind of thing, but then they create this like preternatural disease that goes faster than Ebola and like completely changes someone's DNA. I'm like, I don't buy this.
It's weird, because like sometimes the movie, because it takes place over, like you said, about 12, 14 hours, whatever.
12 hours, one night, basically.
Yeah, but like it feels like it would have benefited from taking place over the course of like a couple weeks. You know, you start seeing the changes happening. You start seeing him. A lot of the revolving theme of, you know, the father, Blake, I think his name was, is he didn't want to be what his father was, you know, with his daughter. He wanted to be a better man than his father was, he felt. So like to see a little more like that devolve a little bit more throughout the movie rather than like little snippets of it and kind of all in one, I would have felt like it would have hit home more and delivered more, because they really tried to lean into that message a lot, and it could have benefited from being just given more time to burn in a movie that felt slow at times, which is weird to say.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you on that, because like I was watching the movie and the first time through, I'm like, I'm not getting the message. Why is he talking so much about like trying to be a better man than his father when it's not like the monster aspect really support that? What is turning into a wolfman, even though eventually we learn, spoilers, that the wolfman that originally attacks him is actually his father who got attacked by another wolfman. Yeah. It's easier than saying Bigfooty. I get that, but it doesn't actually reflect well on him as a father. It's like those two themes, as much as they're trying to tie them together, are awkwardly fit and don't actually tie together. You saying it makes more sense to me than anything the movie actually depicts for yeah. us. Yeah.
And I really gave it some thought, and I was like, mm-hmm. What is this? Like, yeah. what is the message here? And that's what I came up with, that like he didn't want to be his dad, but like you had to give us a little bit more. It moved really quick. You know, we're mm-hmm. in Seattle or wherever they are, and then they're on the road, and then the thing happens, and then you know, the mind reading thing between the daughter and him, you know, that little back and forth. The dynamic of the family was, you know, kind of, I guess you would say, maybe more modern. You know, the father was the stay-at-home mm-hmm. dad, the mother was the breadwinner addicted to her job kind of thing. Yeah. You know, couldn't really connect with her kid.
I like, didn't mind know, that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a typical family dynamic that you would see nowadays, you know, mm-hmm. and then coming mm-hmm. home and having to take care of the father's estate and all that. And then you get the creepy friend who never left town, who I don't even remember, and was there just to
barely
die.
There to die. Yeah, yeah. No, and that's the thing. Like, I think a movie like this benefits from having the theme tie into the monster better. Like, mm-hmm. when you watched Invisible Man, which the guy also made,
I had high hopes for this one.
Yeah, exactly. But the theme ties in well. A woman getting stalked and no one believing her ties in mm-hmm. well to the idea of the guy has invented an invisible man suit so he can stalk her and prevent her from being believed. Like that whole, like, you can't report your abuser because no one will believe you. That yeah. was tied in perfectly to the theme of the monster. The problem with this movie is that he's been gone for 30 years and he does everything he can to basically not be the abusive person he is. And like, even when he yells at his daughter a little bit, one, she was doing something really fucking stupid. So it's not yeah. like she didn't deserve to have someone raise their voice to her. Mm-hmm. But two, he then feels really bad about it afterwards, and it's this thing. The monster doesn't tie into the internal monster. It's a different external force. If mm-hmm. anger made him change, and this was something he'd been fighting for 30 years, that yeah. ties into the monster. But just having it be an external force that spontaneously changed him in 12 hours not mm-hmm. only like completely eliminates all the work he's done for 30 years, but also doesn't tie into his storyline.
Yeah, and it makes it just feel like it doesn't hit as hard, you know?
Mm-hmm. No.
Because, like, he doesn't want to be his father, but at the end of the day, his father is the one that turns him into the monster he didn't want to be. Like, yeah. you even got, like, kind of that wanting to hit in there, but it didn't really hit home.
It didn't land,
like,
yeah.
The you know, spoiler foreshadowing, like, I hate so very much when movies focus on something because you just know that it's going to be a callback to it at some point. And when they focus on the tattoo of the father in the beginning, I just knew they were going to come back to that at some point. And I knew, I called it before it even happened. I was like, it's going to be the dad. Yeah. They're going to see the tattoo. Like, how else are they going to recognize it? Blah, blah, yeah. blah. It just, I like so much better when movies do little things like that, but they don't like focus on it. They kind of just give you a little sprinkle and you got to watch the movie a second or a third time to catch, you know, the little insinuating, the little innuendos they're leaving for you. This is just like, you know, not giving you a breadcrumb. It's slapping a piece of pie in front of you saying, hey, pay attention to this.
Hitting you with the whole bread loaf in the face. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get that. I think there was interesting ideas at play. Like, the transformation, as you said, was cool. The way they filmed it from his perspective where he had, like, weird night vision and couldn't understand their voices anymore. That was a cool touch. I like mm-hmm. the idea of, like, linking it into these cryptids. The wolfman or mothman or whatever kind of creature you want. This is this specific one for these, like, backwoods Washington people. And it's a monster that they've been stalking for decades. And the reason why they're stalking it for decades is because it always manages to perpetuate itself and make a new version of itself. So those are all cool ideas. I like that as a concept. It's a very stylistic choice. It's a very interesting choice. It doesn't tie into the plot, which is a problem. Right. And it doesn't make a wolf man.
No.
I can't let this go.
Yeah, like, you're right. Like, they try to do something different, and I give them a little bit of credit with that to try to give a different take on the Wolfman, but it is just like a diseased monster flick, what it is.
Silver doesn't affect it, because he can just be killed by a regular bullet. Like, Moonlight doesn't affect it, because he just gets bitten at night, and there's no development of, like, is this because of the moon? Is this, does this happen? Do they heal afterwards? No, all we're told is that these cryptids just live, and they're just rat creatures, basically. That's what they look like.
Feral, I guess.
Feral monster men. And that's like none of it ties into like canthrope stuff at all, except for the fact that he gets bitten and he changes. But that could be any disease. That's zombies. That's fucking The Last of Us with like fungi things. Like none of this ties in the way it should to the Wolfman mythology. I would have less of an issue with it if there was just a random like movie called Cryptid from Universal Monsters than if it was Wolfman. Yeah,
I'd agree with that 100%, because like it did give you that almost zombie-esque take on it. You know, this is a disease. You know, the husband, it's taken over him and it's changing him at an acceleratedly rapid pace too. To your point, that's very, very fast. You know, to call back to some of the beginning of the movie too, I think he says that he stayed at that place till he was like 18 was when he left home, but like if. I guess the father and him, you don't know when it happened. Like, when did the dad disappear? Like, they kind of just leave it at, like, you know, the father calling up the neighbor, like, they got to protect our board. Come take our jobs. Like I didn't get the story there. And then he's just gone.
Yeah. With no further development. It's not like a call or anything. Nothing we see over time. Yeah. So, I agree. And let's be clear, the pacing is way off on this movie. No, it's a very slow burn for the first half an hour that seems to go nowhere. And then, like, it goes very quickly, but also in fits and starts and doesn't really feel proper.
It's a movie that could have benefited from going slower because it was going too fast, but it was a slow movie. It's a really weird dynamic to think of, but, like, you just got to watch it and think about it and have it make sense to you.
Yeah.
It's all I could come up with. But, I did like... Like the visuals, the night vision, I thought was cool.
Yeah.
The Cronenberg-esque body armor of him transforming, really like not quite call me back to like, you know, an American Werewolf in London, but it was like that kind of like body horror transformation.
Yeah.
Like he's pulling his jaw out and stuff. Like things are changing. His teeth are falling out. Like there's stuff there that's good, but there's stuff there that didn't really necessarily.
No, it was very uneven. I liked the ideas behind it, but I didn't like the movie. And it's, as you said, a huge disappointment when you compare it to his previous Universal Monster movie, The Invisible Man, which is incredible.
Yeah, that's a very good movie. And, like, it's kind of, like, I, you know, spoiler, I like bad movies, too. And, like, I always thought the movie with Kevin Bacon back in the day when he was the Invisible Man, I can't remember what it was called. Hollow Man, thank you. I liked that, and that's a shit Invisible Man
movie. Oh, it's a shitty movie. Way bad.
It's a shit movie. Yeah. And I like that movie. So the most recent Invisible Man was done super well. It's, like... Yep. It falls into like you know that Megan category of that like super horror movie that was just like didn't see that coming and it was really good and it takes an original monster like the Invisible Man and gives it a different take that is really good and they stuck the landing and he nailed that one and he had great ideas for this one but it felt like they conflicted at times and didn't really hit home.
Yep, no, it doesn't have the balance it needs. It doesn't have the energy it needs. It's very flat. And it's a very well-made movie that doesn't come together. So it's not fun bad. It's just bad.
It's just bad. The visuals are cool. The concept of how he's changing and like he can barely write and all that stuff. And he even writes the word changing, I think, or something.
I think he was dying. Yeah.
Yeah. It was one or the other. Like you can see like he can barely hold the pencil or marker anymore, whatever he's using. And there was some cool stuff there. But like
it doesn't.
You know, at the end, you're just, the ending, I was like, I felt bad. And I was like, okay, I get where you're going there too at the ending. But like, I don't know. Like, so much of it had so much potential just to be different. I think you hit a home run by saying that, like, you would have got so much more value personally from this movie. They called it Cryptid or they called it something besides Wolfman.
Yeah. If it's Cryptid and it's something that's in their genetics and it's not just a disease they catch. So that it even holds it over the daughter's head at the end. Like, you need to control your temper because you saw what happened to your dad. That's something. That's interesting. This movie doesn't have that idea and it can't pull it off.
Yeah, it has the father and the son, you know, the message of, like, you know, the father becoming the son and the son becoming the father. But then you just leave... all that happens is the kid lost her favorite parent.
Yeah.
There's just no other moral there.
The parent she loves, not the mom she barely knows. And you're like, wow, that's a chapter of the story they probably should have focused on, because now the fuck what?
Yeah, I'd be more interested to see a sequel and to see how the two of them ended up in 5 years.
Yeah.
That's quite a dynamic, I'm sure.
Thankfully, I don't think we're getting a sequel, so we don't need to worry about that. No.
And, you know, this was a fun movie at times. It had some good stuff. But, like, I enjoyed it. But I was disappointed compared to some of his other works at the end of the day.
Yeah, he had good ideas, but they just didn't come together. It really felt like he was like, well, I did this with The Invisible Man. Clearly I can do this again. And he just threw all the weird ideas he had in there and didn't, like, find the focus it needed.
It feels like two movies that kind of blended together into one. Two different concepts they tried to meld, and like at times it worked, but overall it was, you know, a C, I think, at best.
If we make it a Cronenberg, it's the Brundlefly of movies.
Yo, yes. Yes. Oh. Love The Fly from 1980.
Much better weird cryptid movie.
Oh, so good. Yeah.
Oh, well. This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, thinking maybe Universal should stop trying with the Wolfman. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy Mike the Ghoul, gonna not only lock his windows and doors, but make sure he checks the pet door as well, kids.
We will see you all next time.